If I were to ask you this morning to turn to what is probably the most well-known verse of Scripture in all the Bible, I believe you'd turn with me to John chapter 3 and verse 16, a verse that many of you have known from childhood, a verse that is perhaps known and loved and quoted more than any other verse in all of God's Word. John chapter 3 and verse 16 is my text today. And we shall read it after we pause for just a few seconds of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for John 3:16 and the truth that it reveals to us concerning Thyself and Thy Son, and ourselves. We would ask again that with the reading of Thy Word and the preaching of the Gospel, that Christ would be honored and souls would be born into Thy family, even in this service, because we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Mission Sunday always provides us with an opportunity to look beyond ourselves. All too many of us live in altogether too small a world. But as we consider the things of the world and the things of God's enterprise of human redemption, we must recognize the truth of our text today, that when God loved, He loved the world. When Christ died, He died for the world. And when the plan of redemption through the man of redemption, the Lord Jesus Christ, was formulated in the eons of time and eternity, God is concerned and was concerned about every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl who has ever lived on this great earth. If you look long enough and far enough today, you will discover that it's a big world in which you live. And you will discover that it is a world that is full of sorrow and loneliness and suffering and sin and heartache and misery and poverty and ignorance. For these things characterize our world in 1968. Though we have big confines, though we have a great nation, a great state, a wonderful city, and a great church, I must hasten to remind you that there are some things that cannot be confined to the small arena of our activity. We must go beyond. I want to talk to you this morning for a few moments about some of these things. As we consider this subject, universal principles in the Word of God. First, the universal curse of sin. Second, the universal fellowship of the gospel. And third, the universal invitation of God's Word. Universal principles that cannot be governed nor contained in the world of your activity and mine. The universal curse of sin. Whether we recognize it today or not, or whether we are willing to admit it, we are living in a world that suffers under the curse of Almighty God. I want to read it to you from the first book of the Bible, chapter 3. Listen to these words that support the statement that I just made. We are living in a world that suffers under the curse of Almighty God. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. Thou shalt return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. The curse of God covers the universe today. And the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden relates every man, woman, boy, and girl in this congregation and in all the world to the principle of sin. Sin is a universal disease that has entered and brought about results that man is unable to describe. A universal disease that has resulted in a universal curse. All men everywhere come within the scope of the condemnation of God and the curse of sin. Isaiah put it this way, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Paul writes these words, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Again, Paul says in Romans 3, now we know that whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law comes the knowledge of sin. Again, Paul says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, I don't know how carefully you've been listening, but if you've been listening as carefully as you should, you'd find that one word stands out in all these verses more than any other word that I read or I quoted. It's just three letters, A-L-L. All have sinned. All have come short. All we like sheep have gone astray.
All men shall suffer death because all men have sinned. I said it a while ago, I must repeat it, that all men everywhere come under the scope of the condemnation of a righteous God and the curse of a terrible sin. And the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden relates every one of us to the principle of sin. No man can escape it. Sin is an infectious malady that has entered the bloodstream of every man who has ever lived. But wait a moment. Any universal curse demands a universal cure. And that brings me to my second thought this morning. Not only is there a universal curse of sin, but thanks be unto God, there is a universal fellowship of the gospel. Paul puts it this way in Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Did you note that word all again? I'm glad it's there. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, A-L-L. Thank God for Mission Sunday. I stated a while ago that the story of Adam and Eve in the garden relates every man to the principle of sin. I can hardly wait to remind you that the story of Christ on the cross relates every man to the plan of redemption. Every man related by the first Adam to sin. Every man is related by the last Adam to salvation. As indeed sin is a universal curse, salvation has become a universal cure. And the fellowship of the gospel of Jesus Christ, God's Son, includes every man of Adam's fallen race. As in Adam, all, there's that word again, keeps cropping up, doesn't it? As in Adam, all die, even so in Christ Jesus shall all be made alive. All sin, all lost in Adam, all gained, all can be saved in the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, the man from heaven, the bread of life, the darling Son of God. Have you ever thought of the company of individuals who made up the world in which Jesus lived and labored and loved? Too many of us are exclusionists. We have a tendency to exclude others from our fellowship. We have a tendency to exclude others from the gospel story. But if you look at the life of Jesus and those who were gathered about him, you'll find there was a Syrophoenician woman, for example, whose daughter Jesus healed. And you know what Jesus said about that woman? Great is thy faith. And what shall I say of that despised and despicable woman of Samaria, who had five men, and the one with whom she now lived is not her husband? What can I say to commend her to Christ? I can say just as much about her to commend her to Christ as I can about you or me. She has just as much to commend her to the Savior as we have. For it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he hath saved us. Here in the world of Jesus was a Samaritan woman lifted out of her past and into a glorious future when she drank of the well of everlasting life. Well, you see, Jesus didn't spend nearly so much time getting people out of the slums as he did getting the slums out of people. And then there's the thief on the cross. What's his name? I don't know. I never heard it. What's his nationality? I never read it in the scripture. I don't know what his name is. I don't know where he came from. But I know one thing about him. He needed the Lord Jesus Christ. And to me, beloved, and I say this with all sincerity of soul, to me, that is all that matters. It matters not the color of his hair or the color of his skin or the dialect that he speaks. If he needs Jesus, he needs me. And he needs you, for you are witnesses of Christ, and I am a witness of Christ. This man has an unusual story to tell. He was condemned in the morning, crucified at noon, and crowned by sunset. I don't know of another man in all the world like that, do you? Let me repeat it. He was condemned in the morning. He was crucified by noon. But he was crowned with glory before the sun ever set. In that man's life, in one day, by the grace of God, he was brought out of prison and into paradise. And hold your seat on this one, with no intermediate stops between. Amen. Oh, for the grace of God. Oh, for the love of the Savior. Who can save a dying thief on a cross, who never had a chance to join a church, who never had an opportunity to be baptized, who never had the privilege of restitution. But he said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And that is all the theology that he needed. And Jesus answered, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Every man needs that cleansing from the curse. Every man needs Jesus. The world needs Jesus today. We need him in life. We need him in death. We need him for time. We need him for eternity. Every man is included in the fellowship of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and live. A little Mexican girl was brought into a vacation Bible school in another state, and she noticed immediately that her reception was not quite like the reception of the other children, but she heard about the story of Jesus, and it thrilled her little heart and blessed her so much that she returned on Sunday to Sunday school. And she noticed again immediately that her reception in the Sunday school department was not like the reception of the other little children. So she went running off to the superintendent and she said, Mister, I want to ask you a question. Does Jesus love only the little white children? And he said, no, darling, Jesus loves all the little children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They're all precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. And she ran outside, and following behind her were four other little Mexican children. And she said to the superintendent, I just want to find out first if Jesus just loved the white children. I say to you this morning that every man, every woman, every boy, every girl in all the world is included in the fellowship of the gospel of the Son of God. No wonder Jesus said, go ye into, and I can't get around that word all. There it is again. This is Mission Sunday. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I must repeat that in the enterprise of human redemption, there's room for all. The little chorus goes like this. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. The universal fellowship of the gospel. And then there's the universal invitation of the Bible. You can read it in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. I'm told that in the caravans that cross the desert, when they're in search of water, they send one camel driver on his camel ahead. And before he is out of sight, they send another. And then another. And then another. And right on down the line until a whole stream of camel drivers are making their way across the burning sands of the desert. And the lead man is instructed that just as soon as he has found water and has tasted it, that he turns to the man behind him and say, come. And he turns to the man behind him and he says, come. And he turns to the man behind him. And that man says, come, until all of the sands of the desert are vibrating with one word. C-O-M-E. Come. Oh, I hasten to tell you this morning that since the first thirsty soul in Adam's race tasted the water of life, the invitation has gone over centuries of time around the world in every language, in every climate, with every tongue. One word. This is the word of the gospel invitation. Come. Come for all things and are ready. Come unto me, all of ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He that is athirst, let him come. And whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. No man is good enough to save himself. But, beloved, no man is too bad but what he can be saved in the blood of Jesus. Amen. Oh, my friend, there is a universal invitation. You may never understand the theory of relativity. You may never understand the problems of international finance. You may never understand the principles of space and interplanetary travel. But, mister, there's one thing you cannot misunderstand. And that is this: in the light of God's word, you are a sinner and Jesus Christ is your Savior. You can't misunderstand that, mister. It is plain as ABC, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I can tell you this morning that without condition or credential, without quality or qualification, without question, without reservation, without exception, without exaggeration, the vilest sinner can be made clean in the blood of Jesus Christ. The little black boy had been teased about being what the white boys called a nigger. And he didn't like it. So one day he decided he'd get in the flour barrel and make himself white. And so there he was, and his mother heard the racket out in the pantry, and she went out to see what was going on. Why, land sakes, boy, what am you doing? What am the matter with you? And he told her his tale of sorrow. The little white boys called him nigger, and he didn't like that, and he wanted to be white like they were. And she let out with a big laugh. And she took the little boy on her lap, and she said, sonny, let me tell you something. You is black because it's in your blood. But let me tell you something else. What the Lord Jesus has done. that the Lord Jesus has gone on Calvary's cross and he shed his blood to make you and me this is white as snow. She said, son, it's a whole lot better to have a white heart and black skin than it is to have white skin and a black heart.
Amen.
You will never be white, son, because it's in your blood. And you could put all the flour in the barrel. All it would do is whitewash you. But the blood of Jesus will wash you white.
Amen.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. No wonder John wrote, the blood of his son cleanseth us from all sin and unrighteousness. The universal invitation on Mission Sunday and on every Sunday goes out to whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. You know, I hope to stand before the throne of God and in heaven with every person here today. I hope that it will be our lot to stand together. And I've told you about a universal curse, the curse of sin. And I've told you about a universal fellowship of the gospel of Jesus Christ that includes you. And I've told you about a universal invitation. But I don't think I could be fair unless I told you that there is a universal damnation. He that believeth is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he's murdered? No, it doesn't say that. Because he's stolen? No, it doesn't say that. Because he's committed adultery? No, it doesn't say that. Because he's told a lie? No, it doesn't say that. He that believeth is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. I beg you this morning, flee from the wrath to come. I beg you this morning, enter into that universal fellowship of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I beg you this morning to come today, to come right now. For the sands of time are falling rapidly through the hourglass of your life. There is a universal curse, but there's a universal remedy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the universal invitation that has gone out today and goes out day after day and year after year and century after century. That when thou didst love, thou didst love the whole world. And when thou didst give thy son, thou didst give thy son to all men. And when Jesus died, he died for all. We know that all have sinned and come short of thy glory. We know that we're all sinners by nature. And aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, hell deserving and hell bound without Jesus. But we pray that those who are lost this morning would enter into the fellowship of the gospel of Christ. Those who are outside the confines of the church would enter into unity and identification with this body of believers. For those, Heavenly Father, who lack spiritual baptism. For those who lack Christian, biblical, scriptural baptism, may they come this morning and be united through baptism into the fellowship of this church. We ask that thou wouldst meet every need of this waiting people in these very moments while we wait before thee with a universal call. In Jesus' name, we ask it and for his sake with thanksgiving.